Hello, this is Mick Foley and Randall, the barking dog in the background. Hasn't been trained yet, 3 years old. And you are listening to the Shining Wizards podcast.
This episode of the Shining Wizards Wrestling Podcast is available on the Shining Wizards Network. ShiningWizardsNetwork.com, home to 9 great shows, featuring Pro Wrestling 101 with Justin Fetter, the Turnbuckle Throwbacks with the Impact player Phil Rea and Dave Megapod, the Bad Boys of Podcasting, 2.5 Wrestlers, Jay Silva, Pat Buck, and Tevin Matthews, the Neckbreaker Podcast, a pro wrestling and heavy metal podcast, the Midnight Jury, talking everything 80s, 90s, pro wrestling, horror movies, and pop culture, the Fallen Angels Podcast, the Gideon Triplets. Jump on board for their wild ride as they show you the ins and outs of the pro wrestling business. We are also joined by our brothers to the north, as Canadian wrestling fan and photographer Stickman brings us Apex Radio. Along with Stickman, we have our other brother to the north, Wolfman Jack Foley, as he brings you the Forearms and Funk Radio Spectacular. It's a funky, funky good time, baby. 9 great shows, 1 great network, the Shining Wizards Network, ShiningWizardsNetwork.com. Also available on iTunes and Stitcher Radio. This episode of the Shining Wizards Wrestling Podcast is sponsored by HeelTurnTees.com, home to great original wrestling t-shirts. Check them out at HeelTurnTees.com. Follow them on Twitter at HeelTurnTees. Tonight's guests on the Shining Wizards Wrestling Podcast are IWF owner and wrestler Kevin Knight and WWE Hall of Famer, former Intercontinental Champion, former Tag Team Champion, Tito Santana. And now to your hosts, Shining Wizards Kevin and Shining Wizards Matt. Good evening, Kevin.
Good evening, Matthew.
We are back. Another episode from Studio B. This is a very busy week for the Shining Wizards.
Sure is.
Podcast. You heard in the intro, 2 guests tonight. Kevin Knight, the owner of the IWF School Wrestling Federation and wrestler himself, and WWE Hall of Famer.
Hall of Famer.
Hall of Famer.
What's a femur? It's like
it's
the bone in
your leg?
Your foot or your leg? Oh, it's your leg, right?
Leg, yes.
Yeah. So we have a Hall of Famer.
Hall of Famer. And then tomorrow night.
Tito Santana.
Yes. Oh, did I say
it? Tito Santana is who it is. I screwed up your mojo with the Hall of Famer thing, so that's my fault.
That's good. We're still working on our chemistry.
Back to back, 2-man shows with you and me.
So that's the only way we're going to get better.
That's the way of the world, man. Eddie locked up down by the man, and Tony. I'm not sure where Tony is, but we'll be back with him tomorrow, so it's all good.
When we're joined with Ref Hansen.
Very excited.
And we're going to do a regular show tonight and drop those interviews in, because tomorrow night is going to be story time with Ref Hansen. Lots of stories. Been in the business a long time.
Very, very, very excited to see what he has to say about certain superstars of then and now. And yeah, let's get into some wrestling talk.
Talk about wrestling. So I guess I'll start with PWS, since I was there Saturday.
Nice. I hate that I can't go to these shows sometimes. It pisses me off.
The only negative thing I have to say is that when I go with Eddie and I have to help him do the video stuff, I don't get to see the show.
Welcome to my world, man.
I kind of made some personal adjustments.
Are you going to get heat again with them?
No, I don't think I will. Look, Missy Sampson is a fucking bulldog, first of all.
She's the best person on the face of the earth, I think.
So,
just human being, like the best human being on the planet.
So, she was trying to keep people away from the curtain looking out, because the set up in a gym, and the ramp and the Tron were in the middle of the back of the gym, so they had to close off everything around the Titan Tron. So,
which is good, because they don't usually do that at shows.
Right, the PWS Tron, whatever you want to call it. So there was no way for us to see the ring.
And that's kind of vital for what you guys do.
Yes. So Missy was our eyes, but then I didn't want to go stand where she was standing, because she was fucking screaming at everybody. At one point, she screamed at me because she thought I was one of the Carino brothers.
What?
She was like, didn't I tell you guys to get in the fucking back? And I was like, she's like, oh, I thought you were Carino.
All right, I'm not going to touch that one.
I don't know
but
either.
But go ahead.
So from there, I decided that I was going to take a little bit of piece of the cloth that was between the stage and hanging.
Between the screen and the stage?
No, a little bit to the right.
Okay.
So right when the guys walk up the back.
Right.
I kind of ripped it up a little bit. It was like taped down. But then I sat on a chair. I had a chair. And I could see the ring perfectly. So I got to see a majority of the card.
Good.
Top to bottom, another great PWS show. Vicious Vin made his big return.
Our pal, Vicious Vin to Belleville.
It was awesome. He probably had like 100 people there to see him. People with fucking signs. It was awesome. Danny Moff and Devin Moore opened the show, and they fucking tore the house down.
I mean, would you expect anything less out of those two?
I wouldn't. I kind of felt bad that they put it on first because everyone had to follow.
Oh, but you get the crowd hot.
Awesome match. Chris Payne put on a great match with Trent Barretta. Really held his own.
Chris Payne fucking was watching this video that Chris Payne and Dave Destruction did. It's the funniest thing I've ever seen with them impersonating Mike. Did you see that? With the Francesa thing that they did? You got to watch it. Payne's fucking Francesa is perfect. It's absolutely perfect. And Destruction comes in and Payne spills his Diet Coke. But as Tony would say, I digress.
So that was great. Dug in against Destruction. I broke it down for Dave like this. You're getting more time than Austin did against Duggan.
Oh, in WCW?
And he was like, he had no idea what I was talking about, so I had to pull up the video and show him. But Dave and Duggan had a great match. Eddie Kingston against Mario was great. I really enjoyed that. The ladder match, Bonesaw was fantastic.
I heard he via the Facebook, he was hurting the next few days. Said he regretted doing a couple moves there.
Yeah, the little elbow. He did the flying elbow drop off the top of the ladder.
Off the top of the ladder or onto the ladder?
Off the top of the ladder.
Onto the floor or onto the ring?
Onto the ring.
Either way, that's still pretty long way to go down.
Kevin Matthews and Art Arkham had a fucking sick dog collar match.
Oh, that's right.
Just great. I mean,
was that like a really physical beat 'em up match?
Yeah, he powerbombed the fuck out of Arkham, like on his head, like 3 times. I'm surprised dude even got up.
3 times? Arkham took a powerbomb?
I don't.
Well, the number's arbitrary. Number's arbitrary.
But I know he got fucking dropped on his dome a bunch. So I mean,
I would like to see those guys team up, man. They'd be like a huge, like big badass LOD Powers of Pain type team.
Real good stuff. So I mean, definitely another great show. Me and Eddie got ribbed on by Hacksaw Jib Duggan.
Yeah, you were telling me about this. Tell the world about how Hacksaw busted the Shining Wizard's balls.
So Duggan goes, he, you know, gingerly climbs up the stairs because he is an older feller. Reaches the top. Eddie hits his video. I hit the screen to flip to his video.
Right.
His WWF theme starts playing. Duggan looks directly at me and Eddie and mouths no and shakes his head no.
Like, this is not what you're supposed to be playing. You're supposed to be playing something else.
I almost shit my pants. I froze. I didn't know what to do. Eddie.
Thank God you didn't push the button.
Eddie just looked at him.
And I would have pushed the button.
I didn't know what to do.
I would have been wrong to do so. I would have pushed a button and would have went to a terrible looking screen. And because Hacksaw Jim Duggan made you shit yourself, you did the right thing.
Well, me and Eddie had a nice game plan, but I didn't know what to do. And then he just started laughing. He walked out of the curtain. And me and Eddie fucking just started laughing our balls off.
You get the nice hero's welcome.
All right, so
he did not.
Who?
Hacksaw.
Oh yeah, Hacksaw. I thought you were talking about something else.
No, did he get the nice? You know, all the hoes.
Oh
and everything?
Yeah, lots of hoes, lots of USA chants. Also, a funny encounter with a couple of the fans. Me and Eddie go walking out to see where they were signing autographs. come around the corner, everyone, oh, it's the Shining Wizards. Hey, Shining Wizards, Eddie, hey, how are you? You know, Clark's good. You're so cool, man.
How many times do I have to say that I do not want that fucker's name mentioned on this show?
As much as it annoys you, it's going to keep happening.
Motherfucker.
And then somebody called me Shining Wizards Kevin.
Must have thought you were better looking than you really are.
I guess so. I did a fucking...
You got mistaken for Carino, one of the Carinos, and for me.
I did a 180, and I walked right away from everybody back inside, because I was like...
You could have ripped me there by saying that you were Kevin and made up a ridiculous story.
I had the Shining Wizard shirt on with my name on the back, so I passed him.
Gotcha.
But, I mean, just like any PWS show, it was a great time. About 800 people. You know, anywhere between 700 and 800. Great crowd. Vinny looked great against Damian Gibbs. The guys were awesome. Eddie Kingston, not a Chris Hero fan. Didn't really factor that into my brain as I was walking around with my Chris Hero hoodie on. And I constantly got my balls broken about it by him. Kingston's a fucking riot, and we have to have him back on the podcast.
Absolutely. And it looks like they're leading, actually they are leading, for the next show, Kevin Matthews versus Bonesaw for the PWS Championship.
They are. Kevin Matthews came out after Bonesaw retained, and there was some words exchanged and a nice scrum. So,
They fought? I thought they shook hands. I saw a picture of them shaking hands.
Oh, they shook hands, and that turned into a fucking Donnybrook. But another great show by PWS.
So. Kudos to all great the boys time. And gals. Was there a women's match on the show?
There was no women's matches.
Okay. Well, kudos to all the gals anyway. You guys are awesome.
Yeah, why not? So, special thanks Pat Buck and Eric Tapout for allowing us to be a part of PWS. We can't say it enough. Pat's going to be in studio Sunday.
I'm going to do my best to get to that show.
Yeah, I'll be there for probably like an hour before I have to leave for work, but I definitely got to be there. So PWS knocks it out of the park. I hear Creative Pro had a great, great day.
Yeah, and that's another thing that we kept saying that we were going to go to, but we didn't.
It's hard. It is hard.
I didn't get home from work till 4 o'clock that morning on Saturday night. And then looking at, because I don't, like, people who know me, I hate to drive, and Eddie's the same way, only worse. So I was looking at the train schedules and everything. And first of all, I thought it was at noon for a second. So I was looking up train schedules at like 8 o'clock in the morning. I'm like, I'm just getting home from bartending this bar at 3:30. So I'm looking at schedules for noon. I still wake up. I'm like, oh, I don't have to be there till 2. Awesome. I made the mistake of putting my head back down on the freaking pillow, and that was just a wrap. I really did want to go check it out. We will make it there one day, though. But they picked up quite a bit of press. Newsday picked up an article about them, and I'm glad that things are so far so good for Creative Pro.
Yeah, I mean, lots of support on Twitter from a lot of big names. Edge tweeted out, that Hawkins is one of the most underrated guys in WWE.
Which I've always said.
A lot of love, a lot of support.
A lot of guys I've seen. I've saw pictures of Wade Barrett. I saw pictures of other guys wearing the Creative Pro T-shirts. So.
Yeah, I mean, I don't mean to break your heart, but I'm pretty sure Zack Ryder was there.
On Sunday?
Yeah. Sorry. Not busting balls. I just listened.
Well, he wasn't booked on the house show loop that was in like Binghamton and Long Island.
Right. So I mean, I just listened.
He probably had some free time.
Just listened to the 2.5 Wrestlers podcast. So they mentioned him being there.
He was. All right. Let's move on.
I'm sorry.
So Kurt Hall. Listen, guys. For those of you listening, you may not know, I have like 4 wrestlers on the current roster that I would probably do anything to have a chance to like fucking be friends with, like bro crush. They are Kurt Hawkins, Zack Ryder, Christian, and a lot of you guys are going to shit on me for this one, but The Miz. And the fact that 2 of them were in the same building at one time and I was home sleeping is something that I probably will not be able to let my bromance crush forgive me for. So thanks for that, Matt.
Sorry, I just got to bring the facts.
I know. That's
you know what was upsetting, too? We didn't go to Creative Pro. And then we didn't go to Beyond Wrestling up in Providence. And it's such a stacked card. I really did want to go. It's just such – I didn't want to take the ride by myself. A couple things to note. Drew Gulak successfully defeated Tommaso Ciampa in a submission match. Hero and JT Dunn went to a draw. Then afterwards, Hero cut a fucking sick promo where he – kicked fucking JT Dunn right in the face.
Really?
Stop trying to be the second coming of the you know, the knockout kid, make your own damn identity.
Is that a shoot?
No, it's probably just part of the storyline. I mean, there was a lot of rumbling on the Twitter between Beyond Wrestling and Mike Bennett.
Okay.
Shit talking, and then Bennett showed up.
Really?
Unannounced, and had a match with Chris Dickinson where he beat him.
Was Maria there?
Maria was there.
Yahtzee.
So, I mean, they're doing great things over there at Beyond as well.
I love it. Everyone's doing well. I like that.
I don't want to forget anybody. I know there was a bunch of other matches, but, you know, I don't have that information in front of me. But, you know, indie wrestling alive and well, doing strong, kicking ass, taking names later.
So you never know when you might see Maria. So you creepo dirtbags, go to all the indie shows you can.
There you go. Why not? we'll do a little, we'll talk some Impact, and then we'll set up Mr. Kevin Knight. You know, Kevin Knight, Tio Santana on tonight, talk about the IWF show. We'll plug that when we're towards the end of the show, and we plug the shit out of it during our interviews. But, I mean, Impact, Thursday night.
Which I didn't get to see, so I'm catching up in fast motion right now, watching it as we do this.
Okay. I don't want to be disrespectful, and I don't want to hurt anyone's feelings. Really, they're killing me. Impact is killing me.
How so, Matthew?
I'll jump to the end of the show. Another fucking schmoz fest, bullshit, interference, win for Magnus.
Has he won a clean match yet?
I really don't think so. I get it. I get that that's the gimmick, you know. But it's just like, it's overkill right now. The whole thing is MVP and Abyss are handcuffed to each other at the ringside.
Oh, yeah.
MVP eventually breaks out of his handcuffs because he's good at that. Waka waka. And he's been in prison, so he knows how to do that. Long story short, Abyss ends up helping Magnus beat Joe again. It's just a clusterfuck of an ending. They present so many stories to you. It's just, it annoys me. And again, there were only one, two, three, four matches on Impact.
Who's taking up the rest of the time?
Well, the show opens with Abyss and Eric Young fighting from the back.
All right, that's I can deal with that. That's action, at least.
But then they throw ODB in there to try to break it up.
Oh, I skipped that part.
I know they're still trying to work like she's married to him and stuff, but her getting involved now is like a day late and a dollar short.
Dude, what were they thinking with Abyss's new mask, by the way? That mask is putrid.
You love it.
No, I do. We were talking about it off the air. It looks like, if you guys remember, Johnny Stamboli's, or Johnny the Bull, relic mask. It looks like a combo between that and the most recent Kane mask. It's freaking terrible.
Combo.
The deep dish combo mambo. It's my favorite commercial, by the way.
You know, ODB getting involved just whatever, just leaves a sour taste in my mouth. They come back with EC3 against Bobby Lashley. And if you listened last week, you know I'm not very high on Lashley. I just don't see the point of him being bought in at all. But Willow comes down and attacks EC3.
All right, so they're not building to a Lashley EC3 feud. They're doing a Willow EC3 feud?
That seems to be the case. I guess because he had some part to do with Jeff Hardy leaving.
But Jeff Hardy's back.
Yeah, but he's Willow. He's not Jeff Hardy.
But they keep calling him on the commentary, because I did watch Impact last week, a little bit of it, and they were saying that he's the alter ego of Jeff Hardy. So doesn't that mean if the commentators are blowing the spot, then doesn't it mean that the cover's blown?
I mean, there really was never a debate as to if it was or wasn't.
No, we know that. But the fact that they admit it by saying it's his alter ego, that means that it's the person with split personality. So it's the same guy.
Yeah.
Willow's not signing a contract. Jeff Hardy's signing a contract.
But this is like Jeff Hardy crazy. This isn't the fun Jeff Hardy.
No, this is... I hope this doesn't last long, by the way.
This is, you know, what the fuck? Goosebumps Jeff Hardy.
The R.L. Stein.
Are you afraid of the dark Jeff Hardy?
This is the SNCC 1994 Jeff Hardy.
The nice little Gunner Storm that promo. That was good.
I like that. And I'll tell you what, sign Gunner's dad up to a contract because he could sell and act more than a lot of the guys in the business today.
I would have liked to seen Gunner's father take a swing at James Storm.
James, yeah, I mean, James Storm's a rough him, tough him, beat him up him cowboy, man.
Yeah, but it would have looked good with him dragging him over the barrier and all that jazz. So that was, you know, they had that going on. Gail Kim beat Lady Tapa in a loser leaves Impact match.
Yeah, Tapa's gone, right?
Yeah, they sent her back to OVW.
What they did?
I think she only gets attention because she's a big girl. She fucking sucks in the ring.
Why didn't they keep Alpha?
That's a great question. Maybe it's like a visa thing because everything they did with her was overseas.
Oh, yeah, with the statement stuff, yeah.
To Stardom, ladies wrestling, whatever she's doing over there. But, yeah, that's a great question. The beautiful people try to reunite. They do.
All three of them? Madison?
No. Madison says, I ain't doing none of that shit.
Just like that.
Just like that.
Just like that. That's exactly how she said it.
And if you are a fan of Impact and don't like spoilers, don't listen to 2.5 Wrestler podcast. Because Pat spoils the future plans for the beautiful people.
Is it already taped?
Oh, yeah. It's already taped, but I don't know if the results are out. Whatever.
They probably are.
Bromans retain the tag titles. I kind of dig the Bromans.
I've never had a problem with them.
They beat the Wolves and Sonata and Tigre Uno. My problem is Sonata's your X Division champion, and he's being featured in all these tag matches.
I remember having the same conversation last week. Is this deja vu, or did we talk about this last week?
But you have Kenny King. You have...
Did he show up yet? Did he wrestle a match yet?
I think that's next week.
Who's he going against? Who are they putting him with?
MVP.
Ooh.
You have Manic. You have all these X Division guys. Use them. Stop putting them in fucking tag matches. Bobby Roode. Okay. Oh, God, this was painful.
Brace yourselves.
It was scary. Bully Ray goes looking for Dixie Carter, and he goes into Dixie Carter's office. So you're like, fuck. Dixie Carter already. She's back. We're going to have to deal with her. Joke's on you, because in the chair, spin around, Bobby Roode.
Oh, my God.
They have a Donnybrook in her office. Whatever.
It is what it is. Oh, my God. This Lady Tapa is a monster.
Yeah,
but she's not...
She's like, not crisp at all. She's very sloppy. She's a sloppy donkey.
Sloppy donkey.
She's somebody's kid. She's Haku's niece.
Oh, no. Haku. Yeah, Haku's kid.
Daughter, right?
Daughter, yeah. That's right.
She's still a sloppy
Or the donkey. Barbarian.
Okay, there. Yeah, we got all these fucking...
Yeah, we can at least look it up for you guys. Hold on.
I'm doing a fantasy baseball draft.
I have the main event, TNA, and the best of Tyler Black on the TV. Seth Rollins, whatever you want to call him. So we're trying to talk, but we're all kind of distracted. But it's by pro wrestling, though. So at least we're not... Well, actually, I'm distracted by pro wrestling. Matt's distracted by baseball.
She is the Barbarian's daughter.
Yes,
The niece, excuse me. I'm sorry.
Oh.
The niece. This is how the studio should be. There should be, like, wrestling on in the background. And
if we were on TV.
Well, you know, Eddie's new program,
we're on YouTube and could, like, do, like, a whole Howard Stern dealy.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. Eddie's new program that he's got for his computer, which he didn't return yet because he's trying to
figure it out. His sixth computer in a month and a half?
He's trying to figure it out. Apparently, he might have, like, a switcher and it can go back and forth with camera. I don't know.
That's what we've been trying to get for a while to make the PWS shows run better. So then we can actually watch the shows and not have to be back there. Anyway.
So we might have that going on for us.
And then anything else on the Impact? Keep going.
Not really. Not much else on Impact. I mean, they so much potential, so much talent. And it's like, I said it last week and I'll say it again, that them recording so much at a time, it just really sucks the life out of
them. You know what it does? And listen, it's not like they're the first person or the first company that ever did this. WCW, I don't know how many episodes of Saturday Night they would tape at a time. Raw would tape 3 weeks at a time. But it kind of just handcuffs you and makes you, unless you can drop it out of it in post or whatever, stuff like that, it handcuffs you to the direction and a direction that people might not want to see your product go in, which is the difference between them and WWE, where you can gauge reactions and ultimately make a change, which WWE, whether or not they actually did that with the whole Daniel Bryan thing. And that's why Impact, I mean, they tried to go on the road, and I applaud them for it, and go live. It didn't work. So, I mean, what are our top programs right now in TNA, and what's the next big event? Do we know?
Slammiversary? Is it?
I think so. Well, because tickets just went on sale for it, so let's see when the date is. Check the old dirt sheets.
The old dirt road. I mean, I don't know. Are they gonna keep going?
Oh, that's not till June.
Are they gonna keep? Yeah. Well, they only run four or five pay per views a month now.
Well, don't they do those big impacts where they like fake pay per view it up?
Yeah, I don't know what the next one is.
And neither do I.
But I mean, who knows how longer? What's Magnus and Joe's gonna keep going? What are they doing?
You know what? If it keeps Joe in the top program, I don't have a big deal with it. But the only thing is, though, they gotta freaking do something with it. Like, they gotta make it worth our while to not keep giving us these screw job finishes. I mean, of course, screw job finishes are welcomed every now and then. But if they go on every week, which they seem to do in TNA, it really just saturates your brain with this, and it gives you such low expectations, and you're not going to want to watch next week because you feel like you know what you're going to get.
Yeah, I mean, 2 weeks in a row, shit finish. I mean, at least give me a payoff.
Yeah. I mean, who knows? Maybe it's coming. Maybe we're...
I hope so.
And a lot of people... That's been one of the big criticisms of wrestling fans lately, is that everyone wants stuff to get rushed, and everyone wants... the payoff now, it's like an instant gratification thing. And I remember, I think it was Steve Corino who put it best, is that wrestling fans have become less patient. And he said it the entire time that he knew what was going to happen with Daniel Bryan. He said, wait for it. And it looks like we're going to get it, but I don't want to switch over to WWE yet unless we're ready.
No, you know, we'll talk to Kevin Knight, and then we'll come back, and we'll do a segue to WWF then, or WWE, and then we'll segue with a little Tito Santana.
All right, so we'll go, yeah, that sounds good.
So when we come back, we'll be talking to Kevin Knight. Sit tight, you freaks.
Hi, everybody. This is the one-legged wonder, Zach Gowen, and you're listening to the best wrestling podcast out there, the Shining Wizards podcast. Keep it locked in.
And now joining us on the Shining Wizards hotline, he is the owner and head trainer at the IWF Wrestling Academy, or camp, excuse me, wrestling camp, the one and only Mr. Kevin Knight.
What's up, guys? Thanks for having me on tonight.
It's a pleasure, Mr. Knight. It's a pleasure. I don't know if you're familiar with our podcast or what we do, but we go way back. We're in our 30s, so we've been around a while, big wrestling fans. And I remember myself, and I know Shining Wizards Eddie, who isn't here, we used to go to a lot of IWF shows and give you quite a bit of crap with the heckling.
Oh, awesome.
So, I mean, we are very familiar with Kevin Knight and IWF shows.
Going back a long time.
It is a long time.
Very cool.
And it's come full circle. We recently had Steve Corino on a couple weeks ago.
Yes. Awesome.
And we talked IWF with Steve. That was one of the first times we got to see him wrestle. And he was very curious as to see if IWF was still running shows. And, in fact, you are. On a regular, I know you're not as functional as you used to be. I mean, how many shows a year does the IWF run?
Now we've just been doing about 3 or 4 shows a year. Our philosophy now is kind of, it's not how many shows you do, it's the quality of shows. So we, you know, scaled back a little bit, just do a couple shows per year. And they're all to benefit local charities or children organizations. You know, because there is a lot of competition out there, so we just kind of pick and choose our spots and do it where we're also going to give back to the community as well.
Yeah, and you mentioned the proceeds going to benefit certain charities and companies and whatnot. April 12th, you guys are running a show right here in Nutley, New Jersey, to benefit the American Cancer Society's Relay for Life in Nutley. All proceeds go to that show. It's April 12th, 6:30 doors, 7:30 bell at the Parks and Rec Center in Nutley, New Jersey. You guys run out of Nutley. I mean, is this like a nice homecoming for you guys?
Yeah, our first show for the Independent Wrestling Federation was in Nutley 16 years ago on March 14th, 1998. So this is our 17th annual Spring Bash. right back in the same building where it all started, and we're glad we could do it to tie in with the American Cancer Society's Relay for Life, where they get all of the proceeds from all of the ticket sales except what it costs us to put on the event. So they get everything. So we're glad we could have a fun night of wrestling as well as give back to the community. And, you know, it's where it all started, so it's good to benefit the community, and we could help, you know, do something good for some people in need.
Going back all that time to that first card, I mean, any names that we would recognize?
We had Biggie Biggs, who's still with us now, Reckless Youth,
nice,
and Don Montoya, Steve Corino. I'm not sure if he was on the first IWF show. I think he joined us. I don't think he could make the first show we did, but he was there with us, I believe, starting the second show we did in Nutley, which was May 1998. And then eventually, you know, we started to bring in the stars and legends. Tito Santana has been with us from the beginning. The Patriot, Salvatore Sincere, Tom Brandy was with us at the beginning, the Honky Tonk Man as well. And then once we got the training school up and running in December 1999, we just focused on putting our top qualified graduates on live events to give them an opportunity to showcase their skills and show the fans what they could do, and more importantly, show the WWE what they could do as well, because that's the main goal of the training school. There's only one place to go if they want to be a wrestler full-time, and that's to WWE. So, you know, we then showcase our graduates on our live events to give them an opportunity to be seen and noticed.
Now, you mentioned the school, and I don't know if a lot of people out there are familiar with it. CampIWF.com is the website for IWF, and the school's link is on there. You guys boast an unbelievable number of people you've gotten tryouts with the WWE, TNA, and I believe it's something like 10, 11 guys that are contracted. Being a teacher and it being your school, I mean, is that just a feather in your cap?
I really don't want to take all of the credit for the success. The reason why I originally opened the wrestling school was I wanted to continue to learn myself, not only how to be a better wrestler, but learn every aspect of the wrestling business that I could. So in addition to the different stars and legends that we brought in to wrestle on IWF events, as soon as we opened the school, I brought in these guys to do guest seminars. They hosted camps and clinics. They you know, taught our students how to wrestle, and they also taught me how to be a better teacher. So from day one when we opened the school, we had a lot of the ECW guys that I was friends with do classes at our school. They were the guest instructors. We had Steve Corino. We had Simon Diamond. We had Dawn Marie. And then we brought in guys like Honky Tonk Man, Tito Santana, Dr. Tom Pritchard, who at the time was working in WWE developmental as their head coach and trainer. We brought in Ricky the Dragon Steamboat, Cowboy Bob Orton, John Bradshaw Layfield. The only time he ever did a seminar or class at a wrestling school was with the Independent Wrestling Federation, because by that time we had built up a good reputation of turning out top talent. So in the 15 years of IWF Wrestling School, 31 wrestlers received a tryout with WWE or TNA, and 11 received full-time employment, and that includes guys being signed as wrestlers, referees, creative staff, and in the television production department.
And one of the most notable guys to come out of Camp IWF would have to be current WWE superstar Darren Young.
Never heard of him.
Talk a little bit about his time with IWF and your make or your take on what he's made of himself, the career he's made for himself in the WWE.
I'll never forget the day he walked into the wrestling school. It was September 8th, 2002. He had already attended a few IWF events as a fan, and he came into one of our open houses, and he sat in the chair in the office, and he filled out a check, slid it across the table, and said, "Here's my tuition. I'm paying it full. I'm going to make it." And you knew right then when this guy walked in the building that he was going to make it. And for 5 or 6 years, 4 days a week, every week, he was the first one to arrive at the building for class and the last one to leave. And that's why he became as successful as he did, because he wanted it so bad, never gave up, you know, got frustrated along the way. It happens to everybody. But he never gave up, and now he is, you know, been in the WWE now for 4 years, 2009, right? He got signed. So he's been there going on 5 years, which is amazing. So he deserves all the credit, and credit goes to a lot of the superstars and legends, Dr. Tom Pritchard, Honky Tonk Man, Ricky Steamboat, guys that, you know, instructed him at IWF Wrestling School, deserve some kudos as well.
Now, the interesting thing about your establishment is 1999, you said, was when the training center opened up. And, I mean, around that time, there was a huge boom in wrestling schools just because of the popularity, the Attitude Era. Everyone wanted to be a wrestler all of a sudden. What do you think was a main ingredient in you guys being so successful in the long run, being relevant, you know, for the last 15, 16 years?
We had our own training facility. A lot of the wrestling schools that popped up, and again, you know, the more wrestling schools, the better, because the more places that there are for people to learn is a good thing for wrestling. But we were different because we actually had our own building. A lot of the wrestling schools, it's nothing against them, but if you're just setting up a ring in a gym 2 or 3 days a week, it's not a wrestling school. We had our own building. We had classes 4 days a week. We had a video classroom where guys could watch their tape studies. We had a room where the guys practiced and filmed promos in. You know, you could have one group in the ring, another group on the floor going through basic holds. We had our own merchandise and concession stand in the school, access to Hall of Famers and legends that these guys could talk to. We would be having class, and in the office, guys like Roman Zachary or Darren Young would be on the phone with Dr. Tom Pritchard, who was the head developmental coach, and he'd be instructing them while we had class going on. So we were a full-service wrestling school, one-stop shop. It was a place where, you know, it's a place where guys can come, get their knee pads, get their elbow pads, get their wrist tape, get their supplements, get their protein bars, protein shakes. Anything you needed to be successful, we had it. And that's lacking, I guess, in a lot of places, because if you're going to do it, you got to go all the way and do it right and give these guys all the tools that they need to succeed. And again, everybody has their own way of doing things, and that's cool. Like I said, the more wrestling schools, the better. But, you know, it's about the quality. And that's how we developed a reputation, and we're able to get so many guys to get tryouts as well as so many guys to get signed or employed full-time in the office, because the reputation was, if they came from IWF Wrestling School or if I recommended somebody, they gave us the benefit of the doubt, and that's why so many guys got a chance to get looked out or be an extra at a TV taping or wrestle in a dark match, because the reputation was there that they would be a quality talent, they would show up on time, they would dress properly, they would act appropriately, and be solid in the ring. And, you know, that's what you need to do. And it takes many, many years to develop that reputation.
Those are all characteristics that a lot of people should probably take heed and learn from. I just want to go back to Darren Young for one more second. I'd be remiss if I didn't ask about this, and then we'll move on with more IWF talk.
Sure.
When he openly came out, TMZ, it was all over the place, with the sensitive topic of being gay in pro sports, which has been dominating the media for the last, you know, couple years, you know, with Jason Collins and so many other professional athletes, specifically to pro wrestling. What is a locker room like in pro wrestling when something like that happens? And what was your initial reaction to it?
My initial reaction was, you know, that morning I was woken up to the phone ringing and emails being sent and text messages from, you know, different media outlets. And all these messages were, you know, we'd like to interview you because you were Darren Young's wrestling coach, and we'd like for you to come on to talk about his recent situation. And I'm thinking, was he in a car accident? Is he dead? What? I had no idea. And you're like, no, we want to talk to you about his coming out. And I'm like, that's news to me. I had no idea. I mean, last I knew, wasn't he like involved with Jimmy Snuka's daughter? I don't know. I mean, he was dating somebody. But the thing I was surprised about was that it really was major news, because it is, you know, it was the year 2013. Right. We're in 2014 now with Jason Collins. I don't even see it as that big of a deal. I mean, the media really blew it up, you know, and made it into a bigger deal than it is. But, you know, people can lead their lives any way that they choose, and good for him for, you know, being who he is and not being afraid of any potential backlash. But I don't think there's any backlash in the locker room. I don't think anybody cares. Yeah, I mean, it's year 2014.
Yeah, there really hasn't been. But like, inside the locker, like, what does the locker? I mean, you've probably been an athlete your whole life. Does it rub anyone the wrong way, or is wrestling a completely different animal than like say the NFL?
I'm sure it's the same, guys. I mean, we rip on each other and make fun of each other and make jokes about each other and all the time. And it's just a part of the deal, and that's what makes it fun. I mean, it's, you know, pro wrestling hurts. You know, when you're falling on the mat and getting slammed around and clotheslined and kicked and punched and chopped and dumped on your head, it hurts. So if you don't have a good time in the locker room, have fun, joke around, make fun of each other, be willing to be made fun of in return, that's what happens in every sport. Same in the NFL. If these guys don't pick on each other and have a good laugh out of it, you know, this stuff hurts. But, you know, you don't want to go too far like Richie Incognito, you know, who's just a complete loser. You know, you don't want to take it in that direction. But it's all in good fun. I mean, there's going to be joking around, ribbing, you know, picking on the new guys. It happens in every sport, you know. I came in, I was picked on, made fun of, whatever. But then once, you know, you prove that you're decent, you're going to stick around for the long haul, then you become accepted. So everybody goes through that.
Now, let's get back to a little IWF. Saturday, April 12th, stacked card. Tommy Dreamer against the Fifth Element, Roman Zachary for the IWF Heavyweight Championship. Tito Santana still carrying gold. One half of the IWF Tag Champions with Gambler Mr. Casino taking on self-made Michael T. Blake and the Lethal Injection Dr. Hertz. Yourself is going to be in a grudge match against Casey Koresh. Lot of familiar names for us on the card. I mean, how did you come about getting in touch with some of these guys? We're very familiar with the Justin Carinos, the Mark Carinos, the Anthony Bowens, the workers at your school, or just local New Jersey guys?
Yeah, just about Justin and Mark Carino were from IWF Wrestling School. Just about everybody on the card is a graduate from IWF Wrestling School or has, you know, received advice or coaching from myself on the side, where I've helped out Mike Dennis a little bit and Mickey Oceans a little bit and Anthony Bowens a little bit. And they're great wrestlers, but more importantly, they're great people. And IWF over the years, you know, I believe we've had over 500 students train at the wrestling school. And on our shows, especially the big shows, we just like to use not only who are the best wrestlers, but who are the best people. Because if you surround yourself with good people in the locker room that are going to show up on time, be prepared, be clean and sober, you know, you can't help but have a good show. So that's what we try to do, is surround ourselves with quality people, people that like each other. We have a good time hanging out, and you just can't help but have a good show if you have good quality talent. So everybody on an IWF show either graduated from IWF Wrestling School or in some way, you know, is connected to the school, where Mike Dennis, who also wrestles as Bonesaw, was actually trained by Darren Young himself. So Mike Dennis learned from Darren Young, and Darren Young learned from myself. And again, I don't want to take, you know, a lot of the credit, because the superstars and legends that we brought in to do guest classes were very instrumental in training Darren Young as well as all of our students. And an interesting tidbit, the current IWF champion right now, Roman Zachary, who is fighting Tommy Dreamer on April 12th, Roman Zachary was the first opponent of Darren Young at IWF Center back in December 2002, and Roman was very instrumental in helping to train Darren Young, and Roman is a close second behind Darren Young as far as skills and talent. And Roman's wrestled at Madison Square Garden twice for the WWE. He's been an extra and done, you know, dark matches many times. He was just an extra about a year ago, I think, when Raw was in Prudential Center and SmackDown was in, I can't remember where it was, Philadelphia. I think it was in Philadelphia last March. So Roman's still getting looked at by the WWE. So you never know. You can never give up.
That's actually really, really cool. And you got this is Kevin. We actually have a mutual, my buddy, the Mad Dog, Mike Jenkins. I do a lot of stand-up comedy with the Mad Dog. And
this guy, Mad Dog Jenkins, came into IWF Wrestling School in, I want to say he joined in March 2007. So that's about 7 years ago. And this guy is a complete lunatic.
Oh,
and that is a compliment. When he's on stage as a comic, and I've seen a few of his shows, or when he's in the ring as a wrestler, he is toned down. In real life, he's even crazier than he is when he's performing.
Yeah, me and Mike performed together all over Jersey, and I'm glad to see that he's bringing it back. Is he? I thought he was going to be in a six-man. Is he not? Or
Mad Dog is going to be a special guest referee at the big event on April the 12th.
Yeah, he had to tone it down.
What gigs did you guys do together in comedy?
Oh, we do a bunch of stuff. We just did a show out in Dover a couple weeks ago, just a theater show. It was a lot of fun, actually. But we do a lot of these shows at, like, bars and clubs, look for events at their stuff, and me and him would go and do a couple. We might have him on one of our shows coming up when we do, like, a Shining Wizards / wrestling-related show.
Mike's
is a good buddy of mine, and I've known him for a while, so it was really cool to see his name back up on a marquee or I was happy.
He opened the comedy show. I think he was the opening comic on a show that Mick Foley headlined. I want to say it was maybe about a year ago.
And we just had Mick Foley on last week, and he remembers the show in question, too. So,
awesome. The show in question, the infamous show.
Yeah. Oh, man. Small world.
That's cool. I'll have to come and see you because I've seen Mad Dog a couple times. So you got to let me know. I'll come out and see you guys. I don't know what's worse, you know, being in front of, you know, hundreds of fans at a pro wrestling event or being in front of, you know, hundreds of drunk, bloodthirsty audience members while doing stand-up comedy. So, you know, what you guys do is awesome.
Thank you.
Well, I feel like that's a two-way street. I mean, yourself getting in the ring and wrestling, you know, time after time. It seems like as time has gone by, Kevin Knight's kind of slowed down his match pace, I guess you could say, and his focus more on a teacher. What kind of change is that for your psyche? I mean, is there more preparing because you know that you're teaching and that your body's going to take more of a beating?
18 years ago, I just wanted to be a ring announcer, man. That's how I started. I was a sportscaster and the morning show DJ at a local radio station in New Jersey. And when the local independent wrestling shows would come to town, they'd give our radio station tickets to give away over the air. So in return, I'd go down in the ring before the show started and would grab the mic and act like a lunatic and rile up the audience to get them ready for the event and throw out T-shirts to the crowd. And they had me be a guest ring announcer. I like doing it. And that's what I always thought I would do is just be, you know, hey, this would be really cool to be a ring announcer. But when I started to get to know a lot of the wrestlers, you're like, you can't be a ring announcer because you're 6'5" and you're a foot taller than all of us. So did you ever think about being a wrestler? So that was 18 years ago. So here we are. So now I don't mind ending my career, you know, maybe just going back to ring announcing. I'll just kneel down when I ring announce or sit on a stool like you guys do at the comedy club on stage. So I honestly never really set out to be a wrestler. It just kind of happened. I just wanted to learn every aspect of the wrestling business. And, you know, I'm not a fantastic wrestler in the ring. I just learned to only do what I can do and only do what's going to look good. You know, like Diesel did four or five moves in the ring. Razor Ramon did four or five moves in the ring, and that is all that you need to do, because, you know, you don't get paid more the more moves you do in the ring or the more bumps you take. So that was always my philosophy. Just do what you can do that looks good, and that's it. So that was my philosophy. But I, you know, I learned everything, how to ring announce, how to do the tickets, the merchandise, the popcorn, videotape, edit video. I learned every aspect of wrestling. And to really be successful in any craft, you kind of have to know a little bit of how everything works to make it all be successful and come together in one complete package. That's what I always tried to teach the students, where, man, if you don't make it as a wrestler, maybe you could be a ref. We have two referees right now, graduates of IWF Wrestling School. They both started at the wrestling school when they were 14 years old. And right now they are in NXT as referees. One of them started as a wrestler, and he got looked at a few times as a wrestler. They didn't have anything for him. He wrestled under the name Dangerous Danny E, portraying Robbie E's younger brother, and they just didn't have anything for him as a wrestler. The whole time he was at IWF Wrestling School, he also learned how to referee, and sure enough, they signed him as a referee. He's in Florida at the Performance Center, signed to a full-time contract. So that's why you have to learn how to do everything. And you can't take it as an insult if they don't want to sign you as a wrestler. Hey, man, at least you're there as a ref. You have a full-time living in professional wrestling working for the WWE. So anybody that gets into wrestling, learn how to do everything. Learn how to set up the ring, take down the ring, do the tickets, sell the popcorn, merchandising, everything. Learn it all, because you never know what the WWE will hire you for.
Well, I guess you just answered my own question. I was going to ask if there was advice you could give to any young and up-and-coming wrestling superstars.
Yeah, we basically just covered that.
Yeah, we have one of our guys now. He was in the second ever class at IWF Wrestling School, gentlemen. He started as a wrestler, and he stunk, and then he became a referee, and he was a decent referee, and then he learned how to be a manager. He was a great manager, learned how to talk, left wrestling for a few years, got into the television business, TV production, on camera, off camera, and now he's been working for the WWE for 2 years in the creative writing department. And you never know. You have to learn how to do everything. And he, you know, stunk as a wrestler, was a great referee, was an awesome manager, then worked for Nickelodeon, MSG Network, so on and so forth, kept trying with WWE, finally got in the creative department, the creative television department, I should say, not creative writing. And he's working there full time, and he learned how to do everything, and that's what you have to do. A lot of guys have their heart set, well, I just want to be a wrestler. No, learn how to do everything. Same thing. If you're the star quarterback of your college football team, or the star running back of your college football team, or star wide receiver, you know, when you get drafted to the NFL, they may already have somebody slotted in that position. So they may need you to go from being a wide receiver to a free safety. What, you're going to tell the Giants or the Cowboys or the Patriots, no, I don't want to do that. My heart was set on being a wide receiver. No, a-hole, learn how to do it all. You never know what you're going to make your living out of. And that's why you have to be flexible and learn how to adapt. And a lot of guys don't do it. There's guys I've seen in the independent wrestling that are doing the same thing they've been doing for 10 years straight. You know, they wrestle everywhere on every show, but go nowhere in their career. And that's not good. If you're doing the same thing you've been doing for 10 years and it's not working, you know, you got to find something else to do.
And if you're looking for a little something different, April 12th, Nutley, New Jersey, at the Parks and Rec Center, 44 Park Avenue, IWF presents the 17th annual Spring Bash, Loud and Proud. 6:30 doors, 7:30 bell. Front row is sold out. Second row is $25. Row three and four is floor.
Actually, rows 1, 2, and 3 are gone. Oh. We didn't get a chance to have our web guy update the website, but rows 1, 2, and 3 are gone. So it's just row 4 and general admission that are left. So if anybody wants a good seat, they better get tickets at campiwf.com tonight.
There you go. You heard it here. $20 for row four. It's on the floor. $15 for bleachers, general admission. Groups of six or more. If you order your tickets online, general admission, you get a discount.
Nice.
So definitely check that out. Grab the guys. Go check out a little wrestling before you go get crazy in the in that town of Nutley. Card is stacked top to bottom. A lot of faces we're familiar with. A lot of faces hopefully you're familiar with. Tommy Dreamer's on the card, taking on Roman Zachary, Tito Santana, and Mr. Gambler against Michael T. Blake and the Lethal Injection, Dr. Hertz. Fat Daddy Biggs defends his American title in a three-way dance against Justin Carino, the Rude Dude, Corey Havoc, former rocker. I know he's not really a former rocker, is he?
He's still a rocker.
He'll always be a rocker.
Damn right.
Marty Jannetty teaming up with Mike Dennis, taking on Outlaw Shane O'Brien and Nicky Oceans. The one and only Kevin Knight right here. He's taking on Casey Koresh. And then the junior IWF heavyweight title match, Mark Carino defends against Anthony Bowens. You guys are fans of wrestling. You want to get out there. You want to check out a show. More importantly, you want to give back. All the proceeds are going to the American Cancer Society's Relay for Life in Nutley. I mean, it's a great cause, and it's wrestling. You get to go out there and enjoy yourself.
One last little anecdote back, Kevin. This was like, I'm going to say, 12 years ago. I was in high school. Yeah, you guys did a show at my high school, West Orange High School, and I had purchased a shirt. I was actually supposed to be covering the event for the newspaper, for the high school newspaper. I went and purchased a shirt, had it end up getting taken. Someone, like, jacked it off my seat. And then I went to the table, and you gave me a free T-shirt because of that. And I think, if I'm not mistaken, an IWF black hat with the silver IWF wrestling on it. And I still have that hat to this day. I'm going to dig it out of my closet. I'm going to put it on and take a selfie with it.
That's awesome, man. I appreciate it. You always got to take care of the fans. You know, if there were no fans there, we would look awfully stupid in the ring with self-tanner, baby oil, and spandex if there was nobody there to watch. So, you know, the fans are the bosses. We just work there, and it's our job to please you and go the extra mile to please the fans.
Well, I just want to let you know that I never forgot, and I still appreciate it to this day.
Oh, well, hey. Thank you for being there. We appreciate all the support. And April 12th is going to be a great show. You have six main event matches. There is no filler. There are no backyarders. There are no ticket sellers. Everybody has boots, and we're going to kick everybody's ass April 12th. And wait till you see this production. We have lights, lasers, fog, smoke, confetti, balloons, and fire. And it will be a production unlike any independent wrestling organization has ever put on. So you are going to be blown away. You will be blinded, deafened, and knocked silly on April 12th.
And if you guys can't be there, if you're out of state, I know we do have a bit of a fan base. Just go to Twitter, follow IWF at Wrestling IWF, and check out their website, campiwf.com.
I'm going to do it right now.
Merchandise, T-shirts, all that jazz. And just support these guys and support Kevin Knight. You find him on the Twitter. Tell him you loved his interview on the Shining Wizards podcast at Kevin Knight, K-N-I-G-H-T, N-J. And just follow him, support him. He's been doing this for a long time. He obviously loves the business. He's not just in it for himself. And I mean, his resume speaks for itself with all these guys he's been sending all over the place and what he's been doing for the wrestling business. Kevin, it's been a pleasure. Is there anything else you'd like to say before we let you go?
I just want to thank you guys for doing what you do and say hi later on to my good friend Tito Santana.
You will.
We will, Kevin. Thank you very much.
Thanks a lot, man.
Thank you.
This is the man who is stronger than death, Matt Hardy, and you are listening to the Shining Wizards Wrestling Podcast.
That was Kevin Knight, IWF.
A very knowledgeable Kevin Knight.
Please, guys, go over, check out campiwf.com. Again, follow Kevin Knight at Kevin Knight on Twitter, and follow IWF at Wrestling IWF.
I just followed them.
You know, we talk about the success his school has had. And we can jump right into to Monday Night Raw. 2 weeks until Mania, live Monday night at the Barclays Center.
For those who watch are watching live on the network, main event, Big E Langston just beat Dolph Ziggler, who was replacing Christian, but we moved forward too fast. So let's go back. Brooklyn.
Aboo.
Aboo.
So right here in the backyard, 2 weeks till Mania. more babble from Stephanie McMahon.
What were they thinking starting a show in the hottest market in the country, the New York, New Jersey, I'll even extend it down to Philly, the area, starting off with promos from the three possibly most hated characters on TV?
I guess they were looking to open with a lot of noise.
But it's like the whole, we're going to do what we can to take the show back from the crowd and not have them hijack it. That segment was hijacked.
I mean, it is what it is. You can't.
I mean, I enjoyed the segment. I thought it was good.
You're on that storyline. You're going down that road. I mean, you can't really, just because you're going to Philadelphia or New York, you can't really change.
No, I get it.
You know what you're doing with the storyline. It wasn't as terrible as
I thought
it would be.
It was fine, but once a hot crowd like that is open with Stephanie McMahon, and then Orton first, and then Batista.
Uh-huh.
Like, wow. Like, how are you really going to start a segment talking with Stephanie McMahon and Randy Orton and you're right. You can't necessarily cater to the crowd that you're performing in front of all the time. But that was just, I questioned that decision. But like I said, the segment itself was fine. Stephanie McMahon was awesome. Batista and Randy Orton were great in it. So the segment itself was fine for what it was. And Stephanie McMahon really showed her bitchiness, I guess is the word. And then Batista split his pants.
He did. He looks dopey as ever.
Skinny jeans, man.
It was fucking spear fest.
Which is fine, because you know what? It does more for them to not have Triple H or Daniel Bryan involved in it, because you can't forget that in a triple threat match, There's three guys, or even in a one-on-one match, there's an opponent to the guy that you want to see. So you can't forget about the other two players in the match, because otherwise it just looks secondary, and it looks like it's Daniel Bryan, Triple H, Stephanie McMahon, and these other guys are just, you know, fucking pawns in the chess game, I guess you can say. That was the worst pawn I've ever made in my entire life. Actually, that wasn't even a pun. What was that? Analogy.
Kevin, don't be stupid.
Don't be stupid. I cannot be stupid. But it was cool, and I liked it. So just question the placement, but it was a great, great opening to the show.
They follow that with a number one contenders match, a four-way dance for the Intercontinental Championship, number one contendership, pitting Christian against Dolph, against ADR, against Sheamus.
Which was fantastic.
It's a little upsetting that all four of these guys were world champions at one point or another. And now it seems like they've just been tossed into this IC. I wouldn't have minded if they did this a few weeks earlier to kind of build up a little steam here. I know we touched base on this last week about how it was 3 weeks till Mania, and they only had five matches.
Right.
But yeah, I agree. Great, great match. Great workers.
And there's two schools of thought that I had on this. One was what Matt just touched on, how it would be like, I made a reference to this, it would be like having four really successful comedians auditioning to open up for me. Like, that's how, like, they had a resurgence with the Intercontinental title, it seemed like, and then it died down again. And the one school of thought on this is, oh wow, you have all these four main event talent caliber guys fighting for a shot at the Intercontinental Championship, which that's awesome. That elevates the belt. But then it's also like, whoa, you have these four main event caliber guys fighting for a shot at a devalued championship. But at the end of the day, you knew whoever won that match, and it was Christian, but he didn't wrestle. Like I mentioned before, it was Ziggler. You knew that Big E was going to beat Christian, which is fine because that pushes Big E up a little bit more. And I looked at it as like, wow, these four guys are suffering. But at the end of the day, it's making the one guy that they have plans for apparently look good. So I ended up being okay with it, and you get a great, great match out of it. Dolph Ziggler is probably, other than Daniel Bryan, the most over guy in the company. So I wish he had got the win, but Christian would have gotten a great match out of E and would have given a more of a rub to Big E, I think.
Yeah, we'll see. I mean, with what they do with this, maybe they...
Well, they had the match tonight, Dolph Ziggler versus Big E.
Yeah, but maybe they took Christian off of that so they could make that a Mania match.
What, him versus E or him versus...
Him versus E. I know it goes against the whole idea of him and Sheamus because they've been having that program.
Dude, they're switching a lot of stuff up because I just found out now that instead of just... They announced last night, and I'm skipping, they announced that the Usos were going to fight Curtis Axel and Ryback. Now, as I was watching Main Event... They made it a four-way between the Usos, El Matadors, Axel and Ryback, and the Real Americans.
Is that going to open? Is that the pre-show?
I don't know, but they just changed it to a match on. It's on the show regardless. I didn't see whether or not it's going to be the pre-show, but that's another little confusing thing there that they're.
Okay. Okay. Speaking of former World Heavyweight Champions or potential to be a World Heavyweight Champion. Your next match features Damian Sandow getting beat by Sin Cara and Scooby-Doo.
This is the Brooklyn 2014 Do Job, is what I'm calling it, instead of the Screw Job from Montreal. This is the 2014 Scooby-Doo Job.
What the fuck? I know they have to promote a movie. I get it. I truly get it. But come on.
Sandow, dude, Sandow.
I know. Come on. What are you doing?
It's, I don't know.
Why even bother? I'd rather just not see it.
And they couldn't do anything more to elevate this movie than get a freaking, like, NYC, like, street theater Scooby-Doo to come in and then do it. They couldn't. They had the Muppets in, for Christ's sake, that had looked 10 times better. They've had animated people on the show. That just came off absolutely terrible.
Unbelievable. I don't get it. The Matadors beat Ryback Axel because the Shield comes out and distracts Curtis Axel, and then they pummel them and triple powerbomb them.
Did they explain that? Why they were there?
No.
Because
if they did, I missed it. So, I mean, they could have, but if they did, I missed it.
You remember, like, a year and a half ago when Ryback took out all three of them, like, by himself?
Yeah.
And now he's getting destroyed by him. Just mm-hmm. just throwing that out there. Just going to leave that right there.
Interesting how it comes full circle. So right smack in the middle of the show, you get a Triple H promo.
Which I thought was cool. The live version of their online face-to-face interviews with Michael Cole.
Yeah, it was different. I didn't mind it so much. Cody beats Fandango. I mean, those guys should be, like, fucking main eventing.
Oh, the Rhodes? Or Fandango?
Cody and Fandango. That could be like a high-profile IC title match, or even a U.S. championship match. By the way, I don't think Dean Ambrose has defended that title in 30 days. Jack Tunney is rolling over in his grave.
Yes. Come back, Jack Tunney. Can we get Zombie Tunney? Can we have Zombie Tunney on next week?
That'd be awesome.
I want Zombie Tunney as a guest on this show.
Maybe he could become a new character. Kevin,
I know
there's Overweight Larry, and there's Tickles, and there's Satan.
And Sting.
Sting isn't really...
Is that our? That's not ours, is it? Is that Phil's?
That's like the black. That's the Black
Scorpion. The Black Scorpion, but...
But, I mean, Zombie Jack Tunney, that could be something for somebody not, you know, sitting next to me, wink, wink, nudge, nudge.
I gotta review my Tunney film and lock down his voice.
Well, you could just be a zombie voice.
Yeah, but you have to know the real voice before you can
make a decision, brains.
Thank you, everyone, for joining us here tonight. That's just every generic president.
I don't think it was terrible.
Well, I have to go back and look. Because the only thing I could think of, the only promo of Tunney that comes to mind is when he either reinstated Macho Man or when he... did the pre-1992 Royal Rumble where the crowd was just like, get the fuck out of the ring and start this match because it was for the belt.
Yeah, he caught a little slack at the end there. So you follow up Cody and Fandango with Hulk Hogan, Arnold Schwarzenegger, the guy that plays the wolf in True Blood.
And dude, that dude's big.
Yeah. Yeah, he's a fucking big dude. Joe, whatever his name is.
Maglione?
Yes. And then your buddy, The Miz.
Yeah. Who's a bad guy now.
Fucking enough. Enough with The Miz. To let the guy be a heel and let him wrestle.
No. I want babyface Miz. I want it to work.
He works better as a heel.
Of course he does, but I like rooting for my man.
You can still root for the heel. You can root for the heel, Kevin. There's no laws against
my
that.
Man. Yeah, but I like baby faces for some reason. I was always the baby face guy where everyone else was going against the grain, rooting for the bad guys.
All right. Fair enough.
Except for Christian. Never mind. I want Christian to be a babyface.
They do a dumb promo, and everyone gets to beat up The Miz just to promote this new movie.
Dude, Miz, like, Schwarzenegger, I mean, I know he's old and shit, but he's looking small.
Well, you know, he's fucking...
How old is he? Is he 70 yet?
He's old. He's up there. I don't know how old he is, though. Big Show dominates Titus O'Neil.
Oh, God, don't get me started on that.
Then we won't.
You really want to get through this, don't you?
No. I'm just you can go. If you want to go on it, go on it. I have nothing to it. It was a fucking waste of my time.
I just hate, like, they do this every time. They did it with, Cody Rhodes and Sandow. They did it with the primetime players. You split tag teams up because you think that one of them is going to help you as a single. They split these two guys up and do nothing with either one of them. And that's why I said that I wanted Cesaro and Swagger, and I know we'll talk about them coming up, to stay together because I was terrified of what they were going to do to them as singles again. And that's exactly what happened with the primetime players. I'm not going to lie. We talked about Darren Young in length with Kevin Knight. I always thought Titus O'Neil would be a guy that could flourish rather than Darren Young, but they're both super talented. And the fact that now you split them up, same thing that happened with guys like not Jesse and Festus, Crime Time. You split them up, and then you have JTG, who's still under contract, I believe, doing nothing, and now Chad Gaspard is nowhere to be found on the wrestling scene, and it just kills me. You split the Hart Foundation up because you think that they can do stuff as their own. Bret Hart became one of the greatest superstars of all time. Tito Santana, our guest who we'll be talking to later, teamed up with Rick Martel. They split them, and they both had successful singles careers. Rick Martel probably more so. But still, Shawn Michaels and Marty Jannetty split them up because you have faith in at least one of them. They split up teams now, and they do absolutely dick 9 times out of 10 with both of them. Sorry, proceed.
No, that was a good – I agree with your rant. It makes sense. Very few times does a breaking up of a tag team actually work in favor of many of these guys. Let's see. Where are we here? Cena Harper was awesome.
Dude, he whipped out a Michinoku driver. Michinoku driver.
Awesome. And the finish with the lights going out and Cena ending up tied in the rope with the fucking mask on. Fantastic.
It was pretty cool.
Kind of
steals a little bit away from The Undertaker, though, doesn't it?
No.
No?
No.
All right, that's just me, then. I ranted about that, too.
That was an awesome match. Shield and the Real Americans was fucking off the chains. Look at me getting street on everyone's ass. I really don't think...
So that Cesaro push is done, huh?
I don't know. I really don't know what they're... Unless they're waiting for the big blow-off. If they lose at Mania, I'm still waiting for it. So all these guys, what are they going to do? The battle royal first and then have all these guys wrestle the card or?
I don't know. It's not saying what's on the pre-show. They haven't even put the triple threat or the four-way tag match even on the WrestleMania website yet, but I did see it. I saw a graphic for it on Main Event. But no, the where were we? Shield? Or no, we were at Cesaro and,
What, Shield and the Real Americans?
Yeah, what match were we just talking about, though? What are they going to do? The Battle Royal.
You talked about Cesaro's push being over.
Yeah, that's right.
I don't even know what they're doing with him.
Neither do I. I'm trying to, looking at the roster for the Battle Royal, obviously Cesaro's not in. There's only four spots left in it.
It took Cesaro's face down?
It took Cesaro's face down. Swagger's not in it. Curtis Axel and Ryback are not in it, obviously, because they're all going to be in that. The four-way match, they added Mysterio. I mean, you got Kofi, you got Truth, you got Brodus Clay, who I haven't seen on TV in weeks. Goldust, Kara.
Can we get a Tensai? Is that Justin Gabriel?
Justin Gabriel's there. Tensai's now doing commentary on NXT and all the pre-shows as Jason Albert.
Is that a Zack Ryder signing?
That is a Zack Ryder signing in the back. Shockingly, you have all the 3MB guys. Henry, I guess Cesaro's not winning, so now whoever predicted I think it was Eddie that predicted Big Show to win it. I kind of have to go with him now.
Ugh, that'd be terrible.
That would be terrible. But
I hate that.
They took Cesaro out of it. So, I mean, who else? Looking at this roster now, there's still four spots left, so you never know. But if they do it, they should do it to elevate somebody. So I don't know what. And they've been changing stuff on us every week, so who knows if Big E Langston's even going to be in the match by next week. Or, you know, I mean, I can't pick a winner. Sheamus? Mark Henry.
Ugh, God. But you see, just make a new star.
That's what I'm saying. Matches like this are supposed to be able to elevate somebody, and I'm looking at the roster, and I don't see it happening.
Ugh.
Unless it's Cody Rhodes, but it's going to be the Big Show now. Eddie, I agree with you. Big Show wins this Battle Royal, barring the four new entrants.
Great. Can't wait. Can't wait for that to be the pre-show Battle Royal.
Yeah, the Big Show. It does make sense, though, but I just thought Cesaro was going to be the guy.
What else? Oh, and then they end with the Brock Taker promo. Brock's t-shirt is fucking stupid, by the way.
What is it? Eat, sleep.
Eat, sleep, and break the streak. Shut up, stupid. It's fucking retarded.
It's clever.
When is it over? Like, when is his last match? He turned
Taker?
49 yesterday.
Taker's last match. I mean, if he only wrestles once a year, maybe he's got one more in him. And it's got to be against Cena, I think. But if he has one more in him, it's got to be against Cena. If he has one more in him, this could be his last one.
Just, I can't, I get it. It's the streak. It's majestic. But, I mean, I'm kind of.
This WrestleMania is feeling really flat to me.
Yeah, I think a lot of people share the same.
They announced the Shield versus. This is another fucking doozy. The Shield versus the New Age Outlaws and Kane.
Yeah, the Shield got in a DeLorean. They went back to 1999.
Yeah,
and it's a main event of Raw.
And
I get it. It's just the end of this fucking authority bullshit. And hopefully Kane puts on a shirt.
He looks fucking milky.
Yeah, he's fucking old too. Enough of these fucking old guys.
And it baffles my mind. I still think Roman Reigns, I think all three of these guys are going to be fucking great stars. And that match, by the way, going back to the Shield match, Seth Rollins is the fucking man, by the way. Tyler Black, we have his Ring of Honor compilation on in the background. But he just shows that for so long he was the unsung, or the guy that, he was like the Ted DiBiase of legacy, where Cody Rhodes, it ended up being Cody Rhodes being the star, Randy Orton being the bigger star, and then Ted DiBiase was jobbing on superstars. And that's where I thought Seth Rollins was going to go. But the way that they've used him and his stuff in the ring makes me believe that they hopefully have better plans for all three of these guys. I just thought I thought the blow off would be Mania, but I guess it's not.
We'll find out.
I've been wrong 8 million times before.
We all have been. Yeah. As long as it's good and it continues to, not continues. As long as it's good and it starts to turn the corner and become interesting and exciting, and they can ride this Daniel Bryan wave.
And that's a bigger story in itself about Raw, about not what was on it, but what wasn't on it.
DB. Part of me, a very small part of me.
Gets it?
No. Wants to see Triple H win the title just because I want to watch the internet explode.
The internet might die if that happens.
I will fucking laugh my balls off.
Like, at the show after WrestleMania might be a funeral for the internet.
Oh, my God.
Because if Triple H gets into that match, it would be like Armageddon for the interweb.
People
will
lose their minds.
I think the Mayans actually predicted that the end of the internet was going to be April 6th at 12:01, which would be April 7th, but pretty sure that would happen. It would be death to the internet because that shit would blow the fuck up.
It would be a fucking hoot.
It would be kind of fun.
I don't think I'd stop laughing.
Do you think, how many people do you think stop the stream of WrestleMania when if Triple H beats Daniel Bryan? Do you think that's the first match on the show other than the pre-show?
I don't know. They might do the old gag where they do, Triple H, Daniel Bryan, winner goes right to the main event. And then, if it's Daniel Bryan, it's the perfect story because he's, tired and he's overcome everything. Like, this is his crowning achievement.
If Daniel Bryan is slated to win, that has to be the last match. If he's not, then it's got to be Taker Brock, no?
I hope not, because that doesn't excite me at all.
And that's what about Raw kind of left me. And I understand why they kept Daniel Bryan off. But without him closing a show for some reason, it seemed different. And it seemed, and listen, I love and respect everything the Undertaker's done, and I'm a big fan of Brock Lesnar. But closing the show with that for some reason just seemed off. And it's what I wanted for Mania. I wanted Lesnar, if I wasn't going to get Taker Cena, I wanted Taker Lesnar. But for some reason, it's just not, in my mind, is not clicking for me. Not a lot of the card is clicking with me, other than what they will hopefully eventually do with Daniel Bryan.
Yeah, but I mean, if you really go back and look, I mean, I know the earlier WrestleManias, there was a lot of stuff on the undercard, like a Skinner match.
That's different times, though.
Yeah, no, I understand, but everything doesn't need, at least back then, like a lot of this stuff, the storylines kind of wove together. Now it's just kind of like throwing shit against the wall and seeing if it sticks.
Back in the day, you're getting 12 matches, so even if four of them didn't come together or didn't make sense, or they were just thrown in there, like a British Bulldog Warlord match or whatever, you still had your, and I'm not even sure if they were on the same Mania, your blindfold match. You had
Lex
your
Lex Luger and British Bulldog against
the Blues
Brothers.
Yeah, I get it. And they're not all winners. They're not all, as you say in comedy, they're not all gems. But when you only are throwing on, as of now, 6 matches on a 4-hour pay-per-view, they all better come with something. And to me, like, I was excited. I'm scrolling through the card. I mean, that Divas thing that they're throwing together, I get it. Give the girls a shot. It's a gauntlet match, so who knows what's going to happen with that. AJ and Tamina, I'm assuming will be the finish, or one of the Bellas. I don't know.
Woo.
But just when nothing, who'd you get?
Nobody. I was actually going, woo.
Oh, because of the Bellas?
Yeah, I was being sarcastic.
Yeah, they're hot. Yeah. Eva Marie is so hot. Oksana's hot.
Hot don't do it for me when you're fucking bothering me.
Who? Which one?
All of them. They all fucking annoy me.
Summer's hot. Natalia's hot.
Natalia's hot, yes. I agree.
I'm not sure. Emma, still jury's still out.
I like Emma. I can get behind Emma.
I just can't stand their fucking stupid finger poking. Rosa was hot, but I'm not feeling this fucking blonde hair. Rosa, wake up. Come on.
Yeah.
Mamacita.
Let's go, you whore.
Yeah.
Whore face.
You whore face. We thought horse face was an insult. No, you're whore face.
Whore face.
W-H-O-R-E-F-A-C-E.
Yeah. You know what? Yeah, no, horse face too. Fuck it.
Oh, she was.
We're gonna be. We're gonna be mean. Let's be mean all the way.
We haven't been mean in a while.
That's true.
But
it's coming. Don't worry.
Yeah, we don't want to burn any potential bridges. No, calling just somebody a whore face.
We'll just pick some fucking some helpless dope and fucking bother them. Hey, you dope.
Oh man, that's what we call a Shining Wizards tangent we just got off on.
There you go. How about we talk to Tito Santana?
Arriba.
Speaking of mean things, fucking Jesse Ventura being a dick to him all the time. Maybe we'll.
Everyone was a dick to him, I think.
Even Tito?
Bobby Heenan called his move the flying jalapeno. Like, it was like really almost racist shit. We got to bring that up with him.
Yeah, we'll definitely get into it with him. So when we come back, we're gonna throw a little bit of this. Did I just draft somebody? No, we're gonna throw a little bit of this Tito Santana your way. So sit tight, gang. We'll be right back.
Peace. For now.
Now joining us on the Shining Wizards Hotline, he is a former WWF Intercontinental Champion 2 times, former WWF Tag Team Champion 2 times, and he is a member of the WWE Hall of Fame. He's the one and only Tito Santana. Mr. Santana, how are you tonight?
Very good, thank you. Thank you for having me on your show.
Oh, please, it's a pleasure to have you on our show. We grew up lifelong wrestling fans and huge fans. I don't even know where to begin. I guess I'll start with the reason you're on the show. We had Kevin Knight on a little earlier.
And he says hello.
He does say hello. April 12th,
he's a good
IWF.
Friend of mine.
Cool.
April 12th, IWF 17th Annual Spring Bash Loud and Proud, 7:30 bell time at the Parks and Recreation Center in Nutley, New Jersey. One half of the IWF Tag Team Champions, Mr. Tito Santana, along with his partner, the gambler, Mr. Casino, taking on self-made Michael T. Blake and the lethal injection, Dr. Hertz. Great benefit going on for the American Cancer Society's Relay for Life in Nutley. All the proceeds, as mentioned earlier with Mr. Knight, go towards this foundation. A great, great reason to get out and watch some wrestling. And, you know, meet the guys you grew up with, the guys you loved as a child. I mean, Mr. Santana, this is really an honor to have you on the show. A couple questions. I mean, we got a lot of things going on. A lot of people are very excited about this. If we can go back to your WWF days, I mean, what was that whole experience like for you? I mean, you are one of the very few people who were strictly a WWF wrestler.
It's been memorable, you know, and you know, wrestling fans all over the world still remember Tito Santana, and it's all because of the WWF. I mean, I was there, you know, when it all started getting big, you know. I was there on the first 9 WrestleManias, and to see the growth and to be part of it and to be one of the reasons why, you know, professional wrestling is so successful nowadays, it's almost like I continue to live a dream, you know, because I know that I was part of the whole thing.
And Matt kind of actually stole my thunder a little bit, because that's something that I thought about since I found out we're going to have you on the show. You were with, I'm not even going to say how many years you were with them consecutively, but like, it's not like it is today when in professional sports where guys sign like 10-year, 15-year contracts. What's the process like going from one contract to another? And especially when you were in your prime, I mean, that's debatable when your prime was, because you had so many different transitions in your WWE career. What's the actual contract process like back then when Vince approached you when it was up? Like, did you ever entertain other offers, or was it just, this is where I'm going to be?
Well, you know, there was never a doubt that the WWF was the number one wrestling organization. And then once it started getting bigger, you know, then it blew everybody else off the map. You know, there's only one league right now, and it's been like that for a long time. When I was with the WWF, it's not like now that the guys signed contracts. We didn't have any contracts. We just had to work hard to be able to stay with one organization. When I was there, I was with the WWF longer than any other wrestler had been, you know, in my era. You know, after I left, of course, you know, Bret Hart had a pretty long career, you know, longer than mine afterwards. And, you know, The Undertaker was there forever, you know. But, you know, in my time, you know, you can say that I had, you know, the longest run consecutive with the WWF.
Now, you mentioned all that time spent in the WWF, and you know, some of the stuff that went on back then wouldn't really fly in this day and age. And one of the things that I want to ask you about is, you know, did you get any fair warning to what Jesse Ventura was going to say about you while you were wrestling? Because he always seemed to go just a little further than he needed to go, you know, and a lot of derogatory comments and borderline racist stuff. I mean, were you aware of that going into your matches, or was that something that was brought to your light, you know, afterwards you'd be home with the family, maybe, you know, catch a show on TV and hear some of the awful things he used to say?
No, I was never aware. But what people don't understand, you know, business was an entertainment business, and Jesse the Body was very fond of me, and he was over so strong that whenever Jesse would knock me, it would get me over that much more. So in reality, he was actually doing me a favor. You know, the reason he would get on me was because he knew that, you know, the more he got on me, was the more people would like Tito Santana. You know, it was funny because I've never been a wrestling fan. I never watched wrestling, even when I was wrestling. I never watched old tapes or anything, so I never knew what Jesse was saying. But I'd get to a different arenas, and people would call me Chico, and at first I would get upset because I thought they were insulting me. But you know, then I realized it was Jesse who kept calling me Chico, and you know, and it took me a while to put it all together. But you know, I never felt offended. You know, as a matter of fact, Jesse would tell anybody if he would have a choice of getting into the ring against anybody, it would be Tito Santana. He really enjoyed having matches against me. We always had great matches.
You talk about great matches you've had. I'm a little young, but I do fondly remember your run with Valentine for the Intercontinental title. When you won the title in the cage match, were you aware that they were going to give you a new title after Valentine had destroyed his title?
Well, the smashing the belt wasn't planned. And once I got the belt and he was all smashed, it just got me over that much more. But you know, they did have to come up with a new title, but it wasn't planned. You know, it just happened. And I took the title home, and I had the title in my basement for years. And I would just look at it, and it just, you know, to me, it was trashed. It was all beat up, and I ended up throwing it away in the garbage, in the basket, in the garbage. And now I kick myself in the hiney, you know, because it'd be worth a lot of money now.
Oh my God! In this day and age, if you were, you know, if you had known that there would be a market for where you could like put it on the internet and people would buy it, you'd have a pretty penny for that.
Oh yeah, I mean, a lot of people ask me about the belt.
Now, very successful run as an Intercontinental Champion. But one of my favorite things that you ever did, you were put in a tag team with Rick Martel, the Strike Force. I think very underrated. Was it hard for you to transition from being a singles wrestler to a tag team wrestler?
No, it wasn't hard at all, especially, you know, getting in there with Rick Rick Martel, who was another great performer. You know, We blended together pretty good, and we got over real quick. I always thought that I was not used to my potential in the WWF. I really enjoyed, and I thought that, you know, I knew the business as good as anybody in the business. I enjoyed single matches, but they were not doing anything with me as a single wrestler. So when they offered me the opportunity to go as a tag team partner with Rick Martel, I knew that I was going to, you know, be involved again. So I had no problem with it.
And Tito, now jumping forward a little bit, we'll probably be jumping for the next few minutes. One thing that I always wondered about was Survivor Series 1990. You have your traditional Survivor Series matches and then the Ultimate Survival match. They put you in with Hulk Hogan and the Ultimate Warrior against an entire team of bad guys. To me, as a young fan, in like 90, we're talking, I was 7 years old, that was like the biggest moment that I remember of Tito Santana's career. Was that something special for you, or was that just another day? They put you, and you had a pinfall. I believe you eliminated the Warlord. What was that night like for you, and if anything?
Well, it was somewhat special, but I really didn't put too much thought into it because I knew that, you know, for that moment, it kind of put me in the same level as the Hulk and the Ultimate Warrior. But I knew that the future, you know, the feuds that were getting started and were going to be coming up, you know, that were being, you know, the seeds had already been planted. I knew that I wasn't going to maintain, you know, the same level that they were. So it really didn't get me too excited, you know, for that reason. You know, if I would have known that they had made plans, because as far as I'm concerned, I was a better worker than either one of them. And I could have carried the load, but, you know, it wasn't in the cards. You know, I wasn't in the scripts So it was nice that they did it for one night, but it would have been nicer for me to have seen that, you know, they were going to elevate me and keep me up there with, you know, with them.
Yeah, it's you echoed our thoughts. I mean, you're definitely a better worker, and we definitely would have loved to see more Tito Santana in the main event. I know time is an issue with us, so I just want to jump ahead to the IWF, which you'll be taking part of on April 12th. How did you become involved with the IWF?
Well, I've known Kevin Knight for quite a while, and I think that he's a straight up guy, and you know, I just it amazes me that he never got a bigger break in the business than what he got. I think he had a lot of potential, but you know, he's a good man, and he's involved in a good cause, you know, a fundraiser for cancer, and this is going to be my third year, and you know, we show up and the fans that show up that night and the support that we get is unbelievable. You know, we do have a time when we go out there and we sign autographs and we take pictures with the fans. And, you know, it's just so nice to see so many fans that come out and support the cause and support the wrestlers. And they have one-on-one conversations with us and, you know, always talking about memories. Like, you guys have memories, you know, they come up and, you know, have one-on-one, you know, discussions about things that they remember and recall and, you know, they never forget. And you never get tired of hearing stories like that from the fans. You know, after that, you realize, you know, the impact that we had on the wrestling fan.
Yeah, an impact indeed. We actually, I actually got to see you maybe last December at Pro Wrestling Syndicate, where you were El Matador and you faced off against Mantar. I thought that was quite entertaining. But I mean, we could talk all night with you, Mr. Santana. I know time is an issue. Again, April 12th. The Parks and Rec Center, Nutley, New Jersey, 44 Park Avenue, the 17th annual IWF Spring Bash, Loud and Proud. Get down there, support these guys, support everything they do. You get to see Tito Santana, WWF Hall of Famer, WWE, whatever. I still can't get that right. Tommy Dreamer, Marty Jannetty, Kevin Knight's going to be in action. A lot of young guys from the New Jersey area. Mr. Santana, it's been a pleasure. I know time is not on our side. Anything else you'd like to leave us with before we let you go? Are you available on the social media? Do you do any of that stuff?
No, I really don't do so much in the social media. You know, I'm a school teacher. I have my hands full. I do a few shows. But I'm not as involved as a lot of the guys that are out there, you know, still pounding the road. But I do want to thank all the fans for their support, you know, for many, many, many years. And whenever I go to an event, they still show their support and the appreciation of, you know, they always talk about, you know, how they always talk about, you know, what a sincere guy I was, you know, and I still am. You know, to me, I am so grateful for the fans, because without the fans, you know, there wouldn't be any professional wrestling. You know, it's the fans that make us, and you know, I will forever be so grateful, because I have a pretty good life because of professional wrestling.
And Kevin Knight actually echoed those same sentiments. One real quick thing before we let you go. You're not from New Jersey, but, I mean, we're all based out of New Jersey, the Shining Wizards. Can you just talk a little bit, very briefly, if you have to, about why you decided to make New Jersey your permanent home?
Well, I got married to a girl from Parsippany, New Jersey. So, you know, once I started having kids, I had three boys. They're, you know, now they're not kids anymore. They're men, but I just found it very difficult to you know, move them away from school once they started school. because I remember when I was a young student and I would hear my parents talking about moving to a town 5 miles away, I would have nightmares. I was in the middle school, and the last thing I wanted to do was, go to a different school, and I never even considered, rerouting my family because, I know what I went through, and I didn't want them to go through the same thing. But, I came from Texas. I like the seasons, but, as far as I'm concerned, this has been the toughest winter that I've had since I've been here. I do like the seasons, but this winter has just carried on forever. It seems like, and I'm sick and tired of cold weather. I'm looking forward to the 50s and the 60s towards the end of the week.
Yeah, I think we're all in the same boat on that, Mr. Santana. It's been a pleasure, sir. Thank you so much. We look forward to seeing you on the 12th of April at the IWF show. Thank you again, sir.
And thank you.
Have a great
Arriba.
Night.
Now it's time for the Heel of the Week, brought to you by HeelTurnTees.com.
It's ironic that we come back with our Heel of the Week. Kevin, you may go first and tell us who your Heel of the Week is.
Well, Mr. Matthew Bowman, my Heel of the Week is Mr. Matthew Bowman, Shining Wizards Matt, for interrupting our good pal Tito Santana's last Arriba.
Dude, I don't... God, Jesus
Christ.
There
was such a perfect way to end the show that he... not to end the show, end the interview. And we stumble over, and then you hear me laughing at the end. Actually, so I'm my co-heels of the week. They're me and Matt. That's my heels of the week.
I don't know what to tell you. I thought we were done.
He just snuck it in there. He did.
He did just sneak it in there. So, I mean, it wasn't like I purposely, interrupted the guy. God, I'm such a fucking dope.
It's all right. It's like I said, it's part of our charm, how we're like the Eugenes of the wrestling media world. We mean well, but we just sometimes we suck. So it's all good.
Boy, that was a rough one, Kev. I'm not going to lie to you. I really stepped all over Mr. Santana.
It's tough, man. It's we'll get it. It was an awesome interview, so that was cool.
My heel of the week is gonna be Mickie James.
Uh-oh,
because she got pregnant.
No, she did not.
Mickie James.
Are you sure it's not Stacey Keibler?
No, she got pregnant too. But that's why Mickie James hasn't been wrestling. She got a little baby in her belly. She's been cheating on me.
That dude, that's heel of the year right there.
A baby? How rude!
Is she married? Oh, wait, that's not. Never mind.
No,
that's not our business.
I think it's Magnus's.
Oh, we can't. We're not going to go nuts with that, are we? Is that? Has it been reported? Has it been out there?
I'm sure, if you Google who Mickie James is sleeping with, it's going to come up and say Magnus. And if anyone gets their information from us, they're
yeah, that's true.
Dumps.
We're not news reporters.
But
we just read
so
what we report what we read.
So, Mickie James, heel of the week. But how about Tito Santana?
Dude, that was a great time. And when I was, I think, 7 or 8 years old, my dad came in into the kitchen. He's like, call me into the kitchen. He's like, me and my brother both. They're like, who's your favorite wrestler? And at the time, mine was Tito Santana. I said, Tito Santana. And he whips out a black and white 8x10 autographed to Kevin from Tito Santana, Arriba. Which, thank God, me and Matt weren't friends then, because he probably would have wrote over it, the Arriba.
See what
but,
you did there.
Yeah, thanks, man. That's what we call a callback. And but so it was so awesome to talk to him, a true legend, Hall of Famer, and it was great.
Yeah. So I mean,
do you have any news?
I do have some news.
Okay.
They inducted Razor Ramon into the Hall of Fame Monday night.
Chico.
I guess because Scott Hall didn't really wrestle in the WWF.
He did.
Not as Scott Hall.
Yeah, he did when the NWO came back.
He wasn't Hall of Fame worthy then. I mean, we all know that. He was kind of, on the souse.
But, now if DDP, obviously Kevin Nash is going to induct him, you think? Or do you think Triple H will? Or
I think the Click will. Shawn, Triple H.
That would be awesome.
Yeah.
if we get all the clique together for the first time, and because last year they were all together, or when Sean was inducted, they were all together minus Scott Hall. Because, you know, X-Pac was there, Nash was there, Triple H inducted him, obviously. They all came back out on the stage and did their curtain call. Oh, that's well-deserved. A lot of people, and this is it's an argument on and I know I'm holding up the show, but a lot of people always have these little bitchy arguments about who gets inducted before who. And it's not the Hall of Fame is not an achievement. It's an acknowledgement. So it doesn't really matter when you get in, unlike other sports. Like, there's no first ballot. There's no limit to how many people WWF can put in their Hall of Fame. A lot of people think Kevin Nash should go in before Scott Hall. I agree. But it's a semantic thing and not – Kevin Nash is going to get in. It's not a matter of if. It's a matter of when.
Right.
But Kevin Nash held the title in WWF. Scott Hall never did.
Right. Well, he was like a four-time IC champ.
No, I agreed. And Scott Hall's – I'm not saying Scott Hall doesn't deserve it. He 100% does deserve it. A lot of people, when they compound the list of the best wrestlers to never hold a major world heavyweight championship, it's Scott Hall is on the top of the list. But Kevin Nash carried a company. You know what I mean? So it's tough when – it's not a big – like I said, it's not a big deal. Kevin Nash is going in. But that's news number one.
Yeah, news number one. Trish Stratus will be inducting Lita into the Hall of Fame. That was announced on the WWE's 30 Years of WrestleMania podcast.
You mean it's not going to be Matt Hardy?
No, or Edge.
Or Edge? Or Jeff Hart? Or Willow? Willow is inducting Lita. That's blasphemy.
Can we lobby for that?
We could. We could start a petition.
Because that would be pretty badass.
Willow inducting Lita into the Hall of Fame.
Please. Oh, Jesus Christ, Kathy Hummer, stop.
What?
Fucking blowing up Twitter. I got 100 fucking message boxes popping up on my screen over here. Well, I get it. Just
what is she doing?
Retweet everything later when I'm not trying to do stuff on the computer.
Matt's at a fantasy draft right now, right? This is big time. This is for $0.
I'm drafting hitmen to see who will take the least amount of money to murder you.
And we're back.
I kid.
Obviously.
The Mick Foley Rain raffle raised over $100,000. I didn't win, and if I did, they would have contacted me by now. But congrats to whoever did win.
Awesome.
Did you know there's betting odds for WrestleMania?
There's been betting. You could have bet on wrestling for a long time now. I think they may have just stopped it, but like actual like degenerate gamblers could have bet on wrestling matches.
Right now, the odds are Taker over Brock, Daniel Bryan over Triple H.
And so what do you got to lay? Like, you got to lay, like, $300 to win 50?
Probably. And then Wyatt over Cena.
I like that bet. I take that. But you're probably going to have to, like, I would love to see the line on that, because you probably have to wager, like I said, like, the Undertaker-Brock match, you have to lay, like, $300 to win 100 or something like that.
Yeah, that's probably me.
Which I would take, because I don't see... I would actually take that bet. I'd risk $300 to if that's what it is. But anyway,
yeah, go do it. Yeah. I think I'd do it.
I would definitely do it.
Why not? Is this thing fucking done yet? This fucking draft.
Jesus Christ. So we did Trish.
Next week on Raw, Orton Batista. How do you feel about that? A week before Mania.
So, I mean, it's in a triple threat match. You can get away with having two of the guys in a match fight each other. Am I looking forward to the match? You never know. Who knows what's going to happen.
I mean, a month ago, that was the main event, and now you're giving it away for free on Raw. I mean, do you think it's
better than the night after?
Do you think, who knows what's going to happen the night after? Do you think that's going to draw any extra interest leading up to Mania, unless Triple H and Daniel Bryan get involved?
Yeah, I mean, which I think will happen. I have no problem with it. Like Batista or not, he's a top guy. Like Orton or not, Orton's a top guy. That's a main event for a Raw.
I agree. I mean, yeah. I'm just questioning if it's a good idea to do that a week before. I mean, you're not really in. Like I said, unless Triple H, unless the show ends next Monday night with Triple H, Daniel Bryan, and those two in the ring, then I mean, I think it's a win. But outside of that, I'd be disappointed.
They're going to get involved. They'd be foolish not to. All right, so this is now according to, I have to cite my source, PW Insider. WWE is claiming Christian was diagnosed with a slight concussion and was pulled from action. So Christian's concussion problems do linger, and that's why he was not facing Big E on main event tonight.
All right. There you have it. What else? Oh, they cast The Rock as Hercules.
I saw a picture of that, and is it just me, or does that look like Robert Downey Jr.?
Oh, I don't know. I'd have to look at it again.
Like, I saw the poster for it, and it looks like freaking Robert Downey.
Or he was already cast, or he's going to be a DC hero. I don't know. I saw a bunch of shit on the...
Yeah, he's going to be a DC hero. I saw that, too.
Oh, yeah? Okay. So that's that. I'm pretty sure...
But The Rock is in the Hercules movie. I just don't know if he's
he is Hercules. He is.
He is?
Yes.
Looks like Robert Downey Jr. with the goatee, Robert Downey Jr.
The Rock's getting his white on. I don't know what to tell you. I got no other news or notes, Kev. You got anything on your end of the board?
Let's check it out. I mean, nothing we can't either talk about briefly tomorrow because we'll be back in studio tomorrow. So
yeah, back down to Studio A. Great show. Great pleasure to speak with Kevin Knight and Tito Santana.
Two guys with over, I can't even count the amount of years experience they have together. And Tito said it best. Shockingly, Kevin Knight never got a better break. Because I did see, I've seen him on TV before.
Yeah.
But it's surprising that he didn't get a better break. But two very knowledgeable guys. It's one of those podcasts where when you learn stuff, it makes it that much better. When you have fun and you actually I'm sounding like a fucking kid that I would hate in school. When you learn and you have fun, it makes it that much better. So thank you.
It's not like we're talking about fucking history. You don't give a shit about the Civil War.
That's true.
You know, this is wrestling.
This is, it is. So it's fun. You're never too old to learn a thing or two, and it was great.
Now it's time for, I got the plug machine over here.
Absolutely.
All right. Are you ready to suck it? IWF, April 12th, 17th Annual Spring Bash, campiwf.com. Follow them on Twitter, at WrestlingIWF. 6:30 doors, 7:30 bell. Tickets range from $15 to $20. First, second, and third row are sold out. General admission is $15. Buy them online, six or more, it's $13. It's a group discount. Tommy Dreamer will be featured. Tito Santana, Fat Daddy Biggie Biggs, Justin Carino, Mark Carino, The Rude Dude, Corey Havoc, Marty Jannetty, Mike Dennis, also known as Bonesaw, Nikki Oceans, Kevin Knight, Anthony Bowens. A lot of PWS guys, a lot of IWF guys.
You just read that like an old event center. Like rundown.
Oh, thank you.
Like Howard Finkel doing like the voiceover for the event center cards.
Definitely get out there, check them out, and check out Kevin Knight at Kevin Knight NJ on the Twitter machine. I dropped the ball with Smash Wrestling. I thought they had a later date in April. They don't. They actually have a show March 30th. Smash-Wrestling.com. Our brothers to the north at Smash Wrestling. Destiny Awaits is the show. It's in Ontario, Canada. Go to smashwrestling.com because I don't know the local areas and stuff, so I feel like reading off a street address would be useless right now. Chris Hero against Tyson Ducks. Johnny Gargano and Matt Cross against the Overdogs. Mike Rollins against Alex Shelley. Alex Vega against Rich Swann. And many more. So get out there. Check out Smash Wrestling, friends of the show. Other friends of the show. Houston Wrestling Radio. These guys have a table at WrestleCon. They're going to be at the Clutch City Productions table. They'll be doing trivia. They'll be playing N64 wrestling games. They'll be giving away prizes. Guests at the table with them, Bret Hart, Jim the Anvil Neidhart, Bobby the Brain Heenan, Scott Hall, and Scott Norton. Advanced autographed tickets can be bought at www.clutchcityproductions.com, and tickets for WrestleCon are available at WrestleCon.com. HoustonWrestlingRadio.com is their website. Find them on Twitter at HWrestlingRadio and on the Facebook, facebook.com/HoustonWrestlingRadio. Support these guys. They support us. They will actually be handing out Shining Wizards cards.
Yay!
At WrestleCon, helping spread the love. So we can do nothing but plug them and promote them. And then Heel Turn Tees, we are giving away a t-shirt tonight. By the time this is up, I will have picked a random winner for a free Heel Turn T-shirt. HeelTurnTees.com at HeelTurnTees on Twitter. That's all the plugs I have. Kevin, what do you got for me?
I just want to send a special thank you to. It's a Facebook group that a couple buddies let me post our shows in when we have guests. I put the website in. They let me do it. Squared Circle Entertainment. Look them up on Facebook. They're pretty cool guys. They let me put my bullshit in there for our show with no problems. We'll even pin the post or two. So that's just Squared Circle Entertainment on Facebook. I don't know if they have an actual website. They have cool-looking T-shirts, so that's cool. The guys at Pro Wrestling Powerhouse who are always up for the best wrestling debates, they're pretty close to PWS too. And other than that, just doing some comedy this week. A lot of you guys are from Jersey. So if you're in Cranford or Garwood on Thursday night, I'll be at the Crossroads in Garwood at around 8 o'clock. Saturday night, I will be at Asbury Park at the showroom for Comedy on Cookman. That's on Cookman Avenue in Asbury Park. Sunday night, I will be in Montclair, my home turf, at Tierney's Sunday Comics at 8 o'clock. And if you haven't seen my Facebook, pretty big news for me again. In June, I will be doing a show with Mick Foley again at the same venue, Crossroads in Garwood. So go check out Crossroads Comedy on Facebook or GardenStateComedy.com. Rich McDonald, thank you very much for hooking that up. And Mick Foley, thank you very much as well. And that's it for me. I can't wait to get this Road to WrestleMania going and check out a lot of and support local wrestling and WWE WrestleMania.
And we are the Shining Wizards Wrestling Podcast. Shining Wizards Wrestling. Shining Wizards Podcast. Jesus Christ, what an asshole.
We don't even know who we are. We're tired.
Shining Wizards.
Oh, my God. You want me to do this?
ShiningWizards.com is the website. Shining Wizards Network is the network we're on. ShiningWizardsNetwork.com. Follow us on Twitter at Wizards Podcast. Facebook.com/ShiningWizards. If you listen to us on iTunes, please leave a review. Give us 5 stars. Give us 4 stars. Just leave a review. If you know people who like wrestling or will enjoy our wacky sense of humor and our foul language, tell them. Continue to spread the word. We get tons of support, and we thank each and every one of you, even if I think most of you are gross, disgusting people. This is Shining
That's
Wizards
true.
Kevin, by the way.
Yeah,
No, that would be Shining Wizards Matt. I also am a gross, disgusting person.
We are all heathens, so it's all right.
But seriously, we do appreciate your support, guys. It's really unreal when you go someplace, a wrestling event, and people notice you and they know the podcast. And it's something I will never get used to. And I just want to thank you guys.
You want to get into what we have the rest of the week again? Or?
Oh, yeah. Tomorrow night, if you listen to this right in the morning, like I know the Drunken Swashbuckler usually does as soon as it comes out. And the Xer guys, shout out to you guys.
I got heat, not with them, but with John Cena for stealing the Xer guys' color scheme on his new T-shirt. He's got neon pink and green on his new T-shirt, and I call gimmick infringement on the for the Kings of Neon. If you guys need legal representation, you come to me.
There you go. If all you guys out there, just shout out to you guys. Thank you for your support. But if you hear this, and it's Wednesday. Jesus Christ, yeah. I don't even know what fucking day it is. If it's Wednesday, you'll know that tonight. Wednesday night we're talking to Ref Hansen. Sunday, Pat Buck in studio, and then we might have a little something special afterwards. You'll just have to wait and see what's going on with that.
Handies.
And then the week after that will be a WrestleMania preview. There's a bunch of names floating around, and once we get something locked down, we'll let you guys know. But keep it tuned here to iTunes. I'm going to play a Guar song to wrap up the end of the night.
Oh, man. Bummer.
I am a Guar fan, and David Brockie, better known as Odorous, the lead singer of Guar, passed away Sunday going into Monday. Damn shame it's not Justin Bieber. But we're going to wrap it up with a Guar song, and we'll see you guys tomorrow or whenever you listen to this podcast.
We'll see you around the way.
See ya, freaks. Peace. Saddam. They shot around in their own.
Cheers.